Greetings, everyone. I was checking my time. We want to make sure we don't go an hour and a half, do we? Somebody said, it's been really warm lately, but on Facebook, somebody also said that we got a really cold north wind from Alaska, and the temperature thankfully dropped to about 95. So much for the hot jokes, huh? It's so good to be here with everyone, and greetings to the brethren in various places, Shiloh, and we know we have some people in Sun City, people up towards Wickenburg, and it's nice knowing that you're here with us in spirit, and we hope your days go well. Well, guess what? The campaigning for president has just about truly begun. Prior to this, all we heard were accusations and rumors, and they spread like wildfire. We as a people have become outraged by lies and deceit for multiple years. I think I'm moving away from that too much. Truth has a way of coming to the forefront of life. How many of you remember hearing a song sung many years ago by John Denver? It's a sin to tell you a lie. I found a rendition of that by John Denver at the Sydney Opera House in 1978. I didn't find it then, but I found it now. And I'm not going to sing this, but there's a few lines in there which are memorable and precious. Millions of hearts have been broken just because these words were spoken. I love you. Yes, I do. I love you. If you break my heart, I'll die. So be sure it's true when you say, I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie. Cross my heart and I hope to die. I'll never, never, never tell another white lie. How often have you heard things like that? What is a white lie? Is it only a little lie? Or is it a stepping stone to something more? Long ago, I was in a conversation. I don't know how long ago, so you won't remember the person. I don't even remember the person. I was in a conversation with a young woman, and she said, I told my mother a lie. I said, why did you do that? Oh, she says, it doesn't make any difference. It's only a little white lie. Does it really not make a difference what we say? What we do? How many of you have been tempted to tell a lie? Don't everybody raise your hand. No, there was one young person, one brave person raised his hand. Now, I've tried to avoid them, but as a kid, I wasn't good at it. Lies are a stepping stone to other things. It's a stepping stone to bending, distorting, or twisting the truth. How often have we spoken words of deception, deceit, gossip, guile, or partial truths? The title of my message is Just a Little White Lie. And the synopsis is, do we always strive to speak words of truth with integrity? First, a bit of background from the Bible. The Bible has about 500 words pertaining to lying, deceit, falsehood, and a variety of similar words. It must be pretty important that we stay away from that with that many topics or that many words indicating there's a problem with it. Let's introduce what the Bible has to say on the subject by quoting the Ninth Commandment from Exodus 20:16. And Deuteronomy 5:20, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this out of my notes. God spoke these words from atop the mountain. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And that encompasses more than you realize. I have a brief little story to tell about a little boy. I'm not going to tell you that it was me. He not only lied, but he took a precious treasured gift from a little girl. Well, he didn't lie. Yes, he did. He lied about it. Sin comes that way. What did he do? Not just lie, he stole. Also, he dishonored his parents. He did so many things that violated commandments. James, the Apostle James, said, when you break one commandment, you break others. And it is so easy to do. It's so easy to get caught up in the moment and in the time. This little boy disobeyed God, and he coveted something that another person had. It was more than 20 years later before the boy, as an adult, came to understand God's will in his life. It would be a long time before he even could begin to grasp some of God's word as he read this in Psalms 119. And you don't have to turn there. Psalm 119, 162 to 163. And I have this quote out of the New King James Version. Let us turn there. Lord, I said let us turn there. We don't have to. I'm not going to turn there. You can if you want. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Since 1969, I've tried to live up to that. And each one of us will have our slips. And I've had my slips. We have all had our slips. Several years ago, and this was many, many years ago, actually, I read a book. It was entitled, When America Told the Truth. It was some title like that. I heard there's another variation. And it declared, there is a culture of lies in this country. As I read an article about this book, I came across the statement that nearly 90% of Americans admit to lying. And I'm willing to bet the other 10% are lying also. I really don't know of anybody that has been totally truthful with themselves and people around them. Not totally. And that's 100%. Not many people reach that. As I further read the book, I was confused about some things that I read. The book seemed to indicate, because of its research, it indicated a certain slant and twist on things that was distorting and embellishing some historical information in order to enhance the book's premises. So who can you trust in this world? Years ago, before retiring, I conducted a mini unscientific poll at work, and I asked people to think of at least three occupations which may have the word liar associated with it. From that personal poll, people equated liars with, one, politicians, two, sorry for anybody here, lawyers, three, used car salesmen. Four, priest. Something's wrong with this whole picture. Today, some polls say, and you could research this, you'll find variations depending on the polls. Some polls say only 14% of people actually trust politicians. Then how in the world do these people get in office? I am sure we all know of others in many fields who have been caught in lies ranging from accountants, maybe even to zookeepers. And we've seen some things in the news that indicate that the spectrum of lying goes across multiple fields of jobs. Each one of us in our own time may have been caught in a lie in his or her life. I caught myself in one on the job one time, and I thought, why did I say that? It infuriated me that I allowed myself to get cornered into telling a lie. And I repented of it. And I try not to. We all make a best effort, and sometimes it just doesn't work. We get lassoed in. We get caught up in the emotions of the time and let things slip out that should not slip out. No matter one's occupation, whatever your job is, whatever my job is, wherever I am with people, how do I deal with people? Do I deal with them truthfully? Am I genuine with them? Am I kind to them? Or do I do things in the back of my mind, or do I twist things to make them maybe like something that they're not prepared to like at that moment in time? No matter one's occupation, all people should be mindful of this, of what it says in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 4. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Lies appear how many times in the Bible? This is important. James said, break one and you break more. As a nation, we live in a culture of lies. Ordinary people believe a variety of myths and lies. Where do all these lies and deceit come from? First, we know that Satan is called the father of lies, the great deceiver, who often blends truth with error, even as he did with Adam and Eve. Let's turn to John 8:44. John 8:44. And here we have the words of Christ in verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Many people will accept lies routinely. They may be able to hide parts of their personality for a while. Eventually, it will come around to bite them and harm them and have people lose confidence in them. We don't want to be like that. We want people to have confidence in what we say. And they will look at you and they will say, she told me something I know is the truth. Or he said something of great truth and wisdom. So we need to be careful about what we do. Let's look briefly at two areas of our lives where we as a nation believe myths and lies. I'm sure you can mention many other, but for a message like this, we don't want about 5, 6, 7, 8 messages or examples. It'll take too much time. You might want to leave early then. And I don't want to see that. And that's the truth. Myth number one, financial and military power. Where we as a nation indulge in myths and lies about finances, that's what we do. So over the years, there have been a corrosion of confidence in all kinds of institutions. We've heard of Enron problems, and we've heard of banking failures. We've heard of the CEO of a great company or something of that nature caught in a web of lies, and the man is taken down. And people are not confident because people have not been truth seekers in their own right. Much of the problem comes from lies, deceit, greed, and guile. As a side note, what about gambling? Well, if you play the lottery, you too could be a millionaire. But who pays for that? Well, it's the 10 million people that lost money. And the one who will probably lose most of that money within 5 to 10 years, if they're lucky. How many times have we thought of the military when we think of the pride of our power? Scripture warns us not to boast, not to put our pride in our muscle and our resources, but to put your pride in God and the things that God says in His Word. So we talk about pride of our power, but that pride of power is also pride in our technological advances and our agricultural prowess and the financial strength of this nation. But God declares, because of disobedience to His commands, and this you could read a reference in Leviticus 26:14, verses 19 to 29. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the key phrase is, I will break the pride of your power. How many times have you seen people who, they were riding the high road, then all of a sudden, boom, it's over? That happened to a lot of people in 1929, at the beginning of the Great Depression. It happened in 2008 when the real estate market collapsed. The financial institutions got weaker and weaker. And we have never really regained the financial strength and power of the individual since that time. It's a plateau. Oh, yes, the economy is still growing, but there are so many more people that need support. They can't find the jobs. We've depended too much on ourselves. We've lied to ourselves. There's myth number two, religion, where we as a nation and a people believe in myths and lies about religion. Religion has been reduced to, well, I'm okay and you're okay. It's liberalized, it's truncated, it's touchy, feel good, and it's a social gospel, having very little to do with the truth. This sort of religion basically accepts anything that goes, and we could certainly see that in the last 5 to 8, 10, 20 years. Somebody told me, and I've repeated this before, he said in the 60s, he says, you think things are bad now, and they were bad. Multiple riots across the nation. He says, you think things are bad now, wait till these kids grow up and they're in power. Guess what? They're in power. Churches have declined. Churches have ignored moral foundations. They're drifting from one thing to another in order to get people to like them. Back in the 60s, there was a song by the Beatles that said something to the effect, all you need is love. Love? In places where it's not love, it's adultery and fornication. We're lying to ourselves if we think that is the truth, which it is not. The past 10 years have not been good. More and more people are concerned about their livelihood, about their families, the trends in the nation. Oh, GDP is still increasing a little bit. Taxation, though, is going up. Many people in society believe they can do anything they want, which is not true. You do anything you want, you could hurt your neighbor. You could hurt your family. You could hurt your kids. You could hurt yourself. We can't do anything we want. We lie to ourselves when we say everything is okay. What is our heart like when we hear a rumor? How do we react? Do we spread the rumor far and wide? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many people here have had somebody say something that was a twist on what you did? And they spread it to another person and another. And you're standing like, what? Where's the truth in this? We are easy to run to where there is a clamor, where there is confusion, and grab onto things and think, ah, I gotcha now. And this happened recently. It happens to the best of us in the church. Read your announcements. You'll see something happened. And it got bad on Facebook and elsewhere. Some people, they get into red heifers. All right. They're going to have a red heifer. They're going to do some sacrificing real soon here. The end is now. I think I've heard that said for the last 10, 15, 20 years. What more? Oh, they're going to build a temple real soon. How many have heard that repeated again and again? For more than 20 years, perhaps even longer. Will it be done? We don't know. We don't know the time sequences. We want to know, but we don't know. Christ said, "You of that time you will not know." And if we think we absolutely know, are we lying to ourselves? When people come before their Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, He would remind them of the scripture from part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is in Matthew 7, 22 to 23. Matthew 7, 22 to 23. And I'll read that out of my notes. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is lawlessness? It's the breaking of the commandments. Lying is one of the breaking of the commandments. I would recommend that we all reread the Sermon on the Mount. When I was young, I had little knowledge of the Old and the New Testament. But the Sermon on the Mount struck me. It had some deep significance and meaning to it. And it's an anchor for your souls. It will see you through the dark days of the future. Let me read a warning from the last two places in the Bible referencing lying. Both are in Revelation. Revelation 21, 27. But there shall be by no means, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Revelation 22:15 says, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. That's listed among some pretty hideous things. Don't get caught in the trap of minimizing the violation of what we may perceive, what many people, 90% of the population at least, perceives as being insignificant or unimportant. As we draw this to a close, realize that we need to emulate Christ, who is our perfect example. 1 Peter 2:21-23. 1 Peter 2:21-23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. In verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And that's actually, there's a reference to Isaiah 53:9. So you see, the New Testament and the Old Testament are interwoven. You really can't throw away one book. And a lot of people, unfortunately, throw away most of the Old Testament except for Psalms and Proverbs. But even then, if they would read those carefully, they would know that the commandments are still in force, and that we are deceiving ourselves if we think they're not. And continuing in verse 23 of First Peter, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Some people, and you could hear it, you read it on Facebook, it's in the news, it is wherever you go. Some people believe we are on the very cusp or verge of collapse in this world. Another shooting in Munich, Germany. It seems like they're coming more and more. However, as bad as things are, could there be a time when things just might get better for a little while longer, and people no longer have that fear or trepidation of the end to come? Could that happen? And then they could fall into the trap of saying, everything is okay, my Lord delays his coming, and get caught in the trap of violating the commandments again, which includes the commandment against lying. We are reminded in Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And my last words, no matter what your age, whether you're a little boy of 5 years old, whether you're 25, 55, or 105, remember the line from the song earlier in the message, I'll never, never, never tell another white lie.